Back here live from the McAdoo Studios in Radford, Danny Noakes, Kyle Bailey, joined by Chris Coleman of Tech Sideline for the rest of hour number two, talking Virginia Tech basketball for a little bit longer. Then we'll move on to football. Again, follow Chris on Twitter at ChrisColemanTSL. If we're looking ahead to this Duke game, guys, between that Virginia Tech has tomorrow, I look back to last year, and there were two games that the Hokies played in Castle Coliseum that I felt like they should have won, one of which was UVA, the other of which was Duke. I thought they outplayed UVA. I don't think they outplayed Duke, but they put themselves in a really great position to win that game. You just can't get into a shootout with a team like that, and that's kind of what happened. And Jahlil Okafor also went off.
That was his career high in scoring, yeah. I think, in that game, 30 points, right? And that was a game where no one thought he was going to play.
Right, exactly.
And if you're looking back, man, imagine if he hadn't played in that game.
Oh, they'd lost.
Yeah, they definitely would have lost. And I thought Satchel Pierce played about as well as he could have.
He did. To give up 30 points, he actually played pretty damn well. Yeah, and then Quinn Cook was actually the guy that sealed it last year in that overtime period.
Right.
But, I mean, yeah, Jahlil Okafor, I mean, to hear Kay tell it last year, I didn't barely walk. This guy's career may be over. It's like, no, he's fine. He's actually going to score 30.
The first play he made that game, I remember it was some kind of fadeaway from about 10 or 12 feet. And I'm like, that guy's 7 feet tall. What in the world is he doing?
That.
Yeah,
it's against the rules.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, Duke's always tough. They're always well coached. By the way, aside, Coach K had Frank Beamer on his Sirius XM.
I didn't listen to the segment, but I did.
It was very good. Coach K was just effusive in his praise of Frank. I mean, he almost made him uncomfortable. I think he's like, college football loves you, and you know you're the greatest thing to ever happen to college football. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but it was pretty cool. Right.
That's when you know you've made it in coaching. When
Coach K wants to interview you?
No. I'm talking about Coach K.
Oh, yeah.
You're in the middle of basketball season, middle of your ACC stretch, and you're hosting your own radio show. Buzz Williams is out there scrambling, trying to get his young team to figure out how to play defense and everything like that. And Coach K is like, my assistants have got it. I'm just going to go do my radio show.
He doesn't even do halftime interviews anymore. Right. He hasn't in a long time.
Who's doing it for him now that Wojo's at Marquette? Who's he sending out there?
And Collins is at Northwestern. I don't even know. I'm not sure who's
Shire,
doing.
Maybe? I don't know.
I think it could be Shire. I don't know.
I forgot Shire's on staff.
Yeah. It's so funny when they show Coach K on the bench, and then you just see John Shire now wearing glasses and all suited up.
Yeah.
He was a fun kid to watch play, but.
He always had his tongue stuck out?
Yeah.
In his pictures?
I don't know if it was a tongue. He just always had like a mean looking scowl on his face. Like he looked like an insane.
Bitter beer face.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Pretty bad. I mean, how do they match up in your estimation tomorrow?
You know, that's a good question. I think a team that spreads the court and extends their defense like Duke is a good matchup for Virginia Tech if Tech has guards that are strong with the ball and can beat people off the dribble. And that's how Virginia Tech has had success against Duke in the past when Jamon and Zabian always played very well against Duke because they could beat their guards off the dribble. Malcolm Delaney, same thing. And quite frankly, that's how Virginia Tech had success against Duke last year. I mean, Jalen Hudson, not every team he plays is going to be a great matchup for him, but when he plays teams that are spread out a little bit and he can take them off the dribble, then he's capable of having a big day. UVA is not a great matchup for him, obviously, but Duke can be, and Wake Forest can be, the way they spread the court. Now, I expect Duke scouting report this year will say Jalen Hudson a little bit more. He might have a full page dedicated to him this year as opposed to maybe the two paragraphs he had in last year's scouting report. You know, the big thing is size on the inside with the third of the Plumlee brothers. Mm-hmm. What did Seth Greenberg used to call him, 21 feet of Plumlee. and this is the last one.
And the worst one.
Right. But, yeah, and the worst one. He's not skilled, but he is rugged.
And
tough,
he's tough.
Dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Rugged
he's
and
big.
Tough.
He is a big, thick guy.
Right. And, you know, centers these days, it's not the 1980s. Everybody wants their skilled centers these days. Guess what? It's not the 80s. There's not a bunch of skilled 7 foot guys running around anymore.
Is there a place for that, for those guys on the floor anymore? Like, again, a tangent, but I was listening to a lot of smart basketball guys say because of the way that the teams play these days, and it's not because of the Warriors, but I mean, they're just kind of indicative of the changing style of basketball. Is there a place for the 7 footer on the floor?
That's a great question. You know, it depends on the matchup. I think everybody needs toughness on their team, and if that comes in the form of a 7 foot center, great, but it might only be 15 minutes a game these days rather than 25 or 30 that it was in the past.
Yeah, I
completely agree with that. I just look at Dirk Nowitzki's close to 7 feet. I think he's, what, 6'10", 6'11"?
Yeah.
I think it these days it would certainly behoove you to have a guy that can step out and
well,
hit shots
it.
As opposed to.
But as you
guy.
Know, those guys don't grow on trees. I mean,
they don't grow on trees
seven
either.
Seven right. can step out and hit a three that can handle. I mean, those guys don't grow on trees.
And Buzz has realized all this. You know, Buzz talks about – Buzz doesn't care about size. He wants his best five basketball players in the court. Now,
right.
obviously, you can't throw 5 point guards out there. Right. But, you know, you can have a guard and three wings and then a power forward playing the center spot. I mean, they've been playing Zach LaDay at center some this year. And he's not suited for it, but he's a lot better suited than – Malik Mueller and Will Johnston, who were playing at Fajardo last season.
Right.
I mean, that was absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, I'm inclined to agree with that, especially at the college level. You need to get your best five players on the court. I mean, if one of your best five is a 6'11", 7 foot center, then that's great. But I don't care if the guy's 6'8" in there, as long as he's skilled and tough and everything like that. And I think that's what we're going to see at Virginia Tech. I mean, Kerry Blackshear is 6'11". I think he's listed at 6'10". But he actually looks taller than that. He's one of those few basketball players that actually looks taller than he's listed.
Right.
You know, he's listed at 6'10". Satchel Pierce is listed at 7 feet. We've got a great team picture of the team for media day, and they're the exact same height. Even though one of them's listed at 7 feet and the other at 6'10". Kerry Blackshear is the most skilled guy we've had at that height in a long, long time.
It's impressive.
I was going to say, you like to talk about how he's the guy that can step back and make the shot. He can step out and drop in a shot.
Who's the last big man that Tex had that could step out and consistently knock down a 16-footer? I mean,
Carlton Carter in the early 2000s.
I don't tell you that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
People threw Jeff Allen's name out there when I asked that question, but Jeff Allen can't shoot like Kerry Blackshear can.
I don't think he couldn't shoot. Yeah, you know,
he's a great player. Jeff Allen was a great player.
Jeff Allen had the green light, but he hit a couple of threes early in his career, and from that point on, he always had the green light, but I don't think he made another one until that Duke game. When they beat number one Duke, he had a big three-pointer in that game, and I think that's the only one he made all year.
It's so difficult to gauge, I think, what this Virginia Tech team is going to be like on a night-to-night basis. And you like to think it's because they're young, right? They're inconsistent because they're young. Well, Bimbo brought up a really good point on the tailgate show. I think it was before the West Virginia game. At some point, they got to grow up, right? They Buzz always talks about the race to maturity. Well, at some point, you can't use that excuse anymore. Well, we're young. We'll get them in they'll grow up. We'll get them in the next one. Because you have games like the one against West Virginia where you turn the ball over 22 times. And then how many turnovers did they have against UVA? Eight? It was low.
And then only four against
NC
State. They've only had 12 turnovers in their last two games.
That's not what they're used to playing like. So if they can play disciplined and not turn the ball over, they automatically put themselves in a good position
to
be in the game. Maybe not to win, but to be in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. In the last two games, we've had Seth Allen playing like the Seth Allen we thought we were going to see this year. Maybe he just needs to play ACC teams the whole time.
We talked about this. He was trying to do too much, right? Mm-hmm. I think that was pretty evident when you watched Seth. He was trying to do too much, and there were stretches of games where it felt like he would try to individually take over, and he either didn't. At one point, it didn't look like he possessed the skill set to do that. At other times, it just looked like he was forcing shots and trying a bit too hard. But he just looks like he's really hit a groove. I mean, he's making the right decisions, taking the right shots, making the right passes.
And in his defense from those earlier games, I mean, against Northwestern, Tech gave up over 80 points. Against Alabama State, they gave up 85 points. They played much better defense against NC State and UVA. When you're the type of player like Seth Allen and you're the team leader and you feel like you're counted on as the offensive leader of the team, and the other team scoring 85 points, then it puts you in the mindset of, I need to score every possession for us to have a chance to win. When you go out there and play defense like Tech did against NC State and UVA, it takes pressure off a guy like that, and he's more inclined to let the game come to him, which I think he's done a good job of the last two games.
You got to wonder what Buzz said to his guys in the game after West Virginia, or in the locker room after that West Virginia game.
Yeah.
Because we had the whole hour and a half wait for him in the press conference.
Were you stuck in that?
I was stuck in that. You know, I've asked the last two games, I've asked the players what went on, and they basically gave a non-answer, so they're not even saying what went on there. But he just challenged their manhood, I think. And this, it could be a turning point. And we talk about peaks and valleys in a season. Maybe this team has reached that point where it's finally clicked in their heads of what Buzz Williams is demanding.
Yeah, what it takes.
Right, and that doesn't mean they're going to run off a bunch of wins from here on out, because they're still a young basketball team that lacks depth and size. But when they get Ahmed Hill back, who I think already understood it, I think when they get Chris Clark back, who already understood what Buzz Williams wants, when they get those guys back next season, it's got a chance to be a very good basketball team, in my opinion.
They'll probably, I would look for them to take whatever that next step is, right? What do you move closer to a 500 record in the ACC, it's never going to be an easy thing to do.
No, I agree. So does this change your projection, your idea, or your thought process about how many ACC wins this team could achieve?
I always thought this team would finish around 500 overall and win 5 or 6 ACC games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're 2-0 right now. You know, it's possible they could do better than that. A lot of ACC basketball, so much is, you know, who wins the final 2 or 3 possessions.
Right.
You spend 38 minutes slugging it out, and then who wins the last 2 minutes of the game, right? And Virginia Tech lost a lot of games like that last year. So we'll see. I think a lot of them are going to be toss-ups.
All right, well, we will step aside and take a break, and when we come back, we'll jump from Hokie basketball to Hokie football. We've got one more segment with Chris Coleman at Tech Sideline, so keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.